You see now why there's this recurrent crescendo of emphasis on relaxation. The perfection of relaxation is achieved only by the Buddhas. And the perfection of relaxation is the transcendence of exerting any effort at all. The deeper the relaxation, the less footing can grasping get, the less footing for mental afflictions, for being carried away by conceptual proliferation. So relax deeply in your body. In your breathing, allowing it to proceed, to flow in and out as if you were deep asleep, that effortless. Profoundly, existentially, relax your mind, effortlessly release into, settle into awareness as you've done before. Continuing to rest in that flow of stillness, unwavering stillness in the very nature of awareness. Now let your eyes be open if they were closed. Utterly at ease, rest your visual gaze in the space in front of you. Soften your eyes, soften all the muscles around the eyes. Let there be a spaciousness between your eyebrows and openness of your forehead. Your whole face resting in an expression of repose. Rest there for a little while, deepening your familiarization with the opening practice of shamatha without elaboration, without sign or referent. And now following in the stream of Dzogchen Rinpoche's pith instructions, on determining the nature of external apprehended objects. Located in the world around us. Open all five of your sense doors. Now, as we move into Vipassana, let your awareness, the flow of your mental awareness, illuminate whatever appearances arise in the visual, the auditory, olfactory, gustatory, and tactile domains. Rest in that non-conceptual stillness in the center, while allowing the light of your awareness to eliminate all of these domains of experience, these five sensory domains for the time being. Let's focus just for a moment, single-pointedly on the visual domain. Let your mental awareness flow along with your visual awareness. But like the visual awareness, let your mental awareness be non-conceptual, such that when you see, you just see. The visual appearance is arising unadorned, uncloaked, concepts and words. And see them for what they are. Before you slip into dualistic grasping and think of them as being out there, before you think that, just rest in this mental perception of visual appearances. And see the word out there has no referent. Out where? There is no inner and outer here. There's just a space of awareness, the substrate. And visual appearances arising and they're passing. Direct your awareness now to the auditory domain. In the same way, let in the heard there be only the heard. Mentally perceive. Just the sounds without even labeling them as sounds, let alone sounds out there coming from somewhere. And as in the pith instructions given by the Buddha to Bahya, we'll slip over the domain of smell and taste. Probably much not much content there right now. And we go directly to the tactile. The realm of physical sensations. A third cinema. In which only tactile sensations arise, but no colors or shapes, no sounds. This field is one in which only tactile appearances arise, without labeling them, classifying them. Observe them quietly, non-conceptually. And see that these two are not out there. They're not in here. The perceptual awareness does not draw such lines between object and subject. They're intangible, insubstantial. They are just appearances, but not appearances of something else that's really out there. And they are your own appearances. They don't come from anywhere else. As we continue to rest in this flow of mental awareness, non-conceptual, allow the flow of conceptual proliferation to manifest. Allow thoughts to arise. Allow the designating mind to do what it does habitually, to designate. And from this stillness, watch passively but discerningly how the conceptual mind habitually locks onto appearances, visual, auditory, tactile, potentially olfactory and gustatory as well, locks onto these appearances and then adds something to them on the basis of designation of these immaterial, insubstantial appearances. The conceptual mind designates objects. That's the sound of traffic. That's the sound of the refrigerator. That's the color of cloth. That's the sensation in my ear, in my knee. And so on. Watch how the conceptual mind designates objects on basis of designation, this array of appearances, which are not those objects. Watch how the conceptual mind populates the world around you with objects out there in physical space. How they come into existence, these objects, by the power of conceptual designation. Watch that happen. As soon as you think this or that, referring to some object out there, watch how the mind literally conceives the object, gives birth to the object by designating it as such. And then once the conceptual mind has designated an object out there, observe on occasion, perhaps many occasions, how the conceptual mind goes a step further and reifies the object that it has designated, viewing it as existing independently from its own side, independent of the process of designation, as if the designation, the conceptual and verbal labeling, was something of no consequence, utterly superficial, as if the objects out there already were, from their own side, what they are, as if they bear their own intrinsic identities. Watch how the mind reifies the objects that it has imputed. And watch how concepts proliferate independent upon that reification. Is it true, as it is said in Buddhism, that all mental afflictions are rooted in reification? Observe closely. Observe the activity of reification without reifying. Observe the delusion without being deluded. And rest non-conceptually, but discerningly in your own awareness. Let's continue in silence.